And we're going to repeat this quote from Roman Rozdalski's. We began it last week. We're going to read the entire quote from Roman Rozdalski's The Making of Marx's Capital. Quote, Marx concludes by saying that the law of the tendency of the rate of profit to fall is in every respect the most important law of political economy. And that's from the third volume of Capital, continuing with. It implies that the material, and this is again, he's quoting Marx again here. It implies, quote, that the material productive power already present, already worked out, existing in the form of fixed capital, together with the scientific power, population, etc. In short, all conditions for the reproduction of wealth, i.e. the abundant development of the social individual, that the development of the productive forces brought about by the historical development of capital itself, when it reaches a certain historical development. When it reaches that point, it suspends the self-valorization of capital instead of positing it. Beyond a certain point, the development of the powers of production becomes a barrier for capital, hence the capital relation a barrier for the development of the productive powers of labor. And we commented on this paragraph in last week's show already, but this is what I was referring to earlier, this notion that we've been led to believe that we, in talking about the development of the productive powers, that it's somehow simultaneously a development of us, when, as we're about to discuss, the opposite is the case. Continuing, when it has reached this point, capital, i.e. wage labor, and I have to comment again that the notion that this takes priority, this notion of the development of our productiveness takes priority over us, I think is a key blind spot in Marx's analysis, or source of myopia, maybe put it like that. When it has reached this, continuing, when it has reached this point, capital, i.e. wage labor, enters into the same relation towards the development of social wealth and of the forces of production, as did the guild system, serfdom, slavery, and is necessarily stripped off as a fetter. And I have to comment again, to say that wage labor gets stripped off as a fetter. I mean, this doesn't end power. We've been arguing during the course of these shows. They could end the wage, which I doubt they would, but they technically, because they know from Bentham and Plato that you just change the name of something that still exists, right? So you could call it something else. You could call it a guaranteed minimum income and say, but in exchange, we ask this, this, and this, or whatever. It's still someone else feeding us, we're still pets, is the point. We still haven't grown up, is the point. So when Marx says that, or this might maybe at this point, did the quote close? I think we're hearing from Mr. Rozdalski at this point. So when he says that this last form of servitude gets stripped off as a fetter, I don't think the analysis goes deep enough, and that's where we're upcoming shows are going. This last form of servitude assumed by human activity, that of wage labor on one side, capital on the other, is thereby cast off like a skin, and this casting off itself is the result of the mode of production corresponding to capital. The material and mental conditions of the negation of wage labor and of capital themselves already the negation of earlier forms of unfree social production, are themselves results of its production process. And when he, it's implied, obviously, that if it's unfree, that we are now in charge. But as we're going to be discussing, that is far from, and as our good three are going to say, that is far from guaranteed. And it is certainly not inevitable, obviously. Continuing, he's quoting Marx. The growing in, and he's quoting, I think the Grundrisse here, the growing incompatibility between the productive development of society and its hitherto existing relations of production expresses itself in bitter contradictions, crises, spasms, the violent destruction of capital, not by relations external to it, but rather as a condition of its self-preservation, is the most striking form in which advice is given it to be gone and to give room to a higher state of social production. I don't think they're going to take that advice, because you see, it isn't capital that is our adversary, because they have in fact put themselves in opposition to the evolution of global humanity. It is in fact these global state statesmen who stand in the way of our freedom. And he concludes, or this quote concludes, the third section of the rough draft ends with this prognosis of breakdown. And that's from Roman Rozdalski, The Making of Marx's Capital. And by the way, hasn't the political theater produced by the right of late, and it will be ongoing through the upcoming election in 2016, hasn't it been amusing? I mean, here we are talking about how this was predicted, the collapse of the global economy by Marx. And these are not discussions allowed over the airwaves. And so we're, unfortunately, the vast majority of folk are at the mercy of this asinine, childish analysis provided by the right. To blame the sinking global economy and the loss of the hegemonic status of the U.S. on the left overall, and Barack Obama in particular, as they tear and scrape fangs all a froth in their single-minded attempt to regain the office of U.S. president, and the very fervor of it should tell you what they have in mind for us in reclaiming that office is not going to be something we want to see.